Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. My name is Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. And with us, we have world champion of the world, Cole Foyles.
How's it going, guys? How you doing, Aaron?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I think I'm getting to be part of this show. It's his third, fourth time now.
I've been thinking that. Yeah. I don't even know.
If you want to do three or four more, I'm good with it.
We got to come up with a special designation. I mean, yeah. You're the, what do you call it, the guest of honor?
The most. I don't know about all if I deserve all that, but anytime I can get together and talk hunting, I'm all about it.
So what's up? How you been?
Man, finally just got over the blues. Turkey season's over. I've been busy, man. Busy. Getting ready to kind of prep for off season. But if I wasn't busy enough with calls and guide business and everything else, I'm getting ready to start a dog training business as well.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we're getting kennels coming next week, and right after we get those set up, here come the pups. So we're gonna be busy real quick.
And I mean, this has been an idea for what, a week?
It's been put into motion for about a week, but it's something I've really wanted to do for years, and I finally just the demand. I don't know if they've seen my dogs or if hunted with them or whatever, but I love working dogs, always have. Even growing up, I've been around a lot of dog trainers, fortunate enough, and a lot of good dogs, and I was always like a sponge anytime I went to a dog trainer and just loved to get that relationship with them dogs and watch them grow. And people start blowing my phone up, and I said, heck with it. Let's take that jump and see what happens. We got one in right now, but we got a couple more coming in next week. And this one I got right now, he's doing great. He's doing great.
Awesome. And I mean, here we are a week into actually happening. Is the kennel almost full?
Yeah. I might have, I'm waiting to hear back from one guy. I'm not going to be a huge operation starting out just because, you know, I'm getting started. But I want to see this thing grow. And even if I'm full and anybody's got any questions, you can call me on my cell at any time. And that's 618-535-9899. I mean, maybe we can even meet up and just do a couple little sessions with your dog, see what you need. But I think I might have one opening. I'm waiting to hear back from a guy. But if he pulls the trigger on it, then I'm full till August. So
that's awesome.
And we'll get a page up here before long, but it's just kind of been a word of mouth and me trying to get everything ready. And it's amazing social media these days. I put one thing, not even a post, I put something on a story and then I woke up the next day and phone just going nuts. So I'm excited. I really am. I don't know if it's something that scratches that itch in the off season or what, but I love dogs. I couldn't imagine going hunting without one.
Right. Well, I mean, congratulations on the immediate success, and you deserve that, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, should we kind of pick up where we left off?
Yeah, we sure can.
That gobble action.
Yeah. It was sad to see it go like every year, but I got to say it was another good turkey season for me. Had a lot of fun. I got to go to, you know, obviously favorite place to hunt's at home. Everybody's going to say that. But I got to go to Missouri, went down to southern Missouri and those Ark Mountains, and we got a couple birds there. And then I got my birds here. And then I did my yearly trip to Michigan. It was tough. Michigan's usually the easiest state, and it was the toughest this year, and it's just due to rain and 30-mile-an-hour winds. But I tagged out up there, too. It was fun. I got to hunt at home this year. I hunted some new ground, state and private, and it's kind of cool learning new spots and just getting the feel of it. Onyx can help a guy unbelievably. If you guys don't have Onyx, the app on your phone, you need to get it. But your techniques with calling, woodsmanship, whatever, is great. But knowing the farm like the back of your hand will get you more bird kill than anything. And patience. Yeah. Got to throw that in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to to watch you hunt is one thing, but then, you know, we keep track of each other all turkey season. Your patience is on another level.
Yeah, I've been told that from many people, and that patience, man, has killed more birds for me than anything else I can bring to the table. I mean, if I had to take one thing, I'd put that patience in there, you know. But that's what's going to come a long way in that dog training too. You got to be patient with them pups as well. But no, patience has made a few long beards take a ride in the back of the truck over the years.
Just wants to take a ride in a pickup truck. With the thing that I've observed is if things aren't going right for you during the first hour or two, and I'd imagine that you've killed enough birds, had enough successful hunts that you kind of have that, what would you call that? Like the inertia, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
But if that bird still by 10 o'clock mm-hmm. hasn't done what it needs to do, you're still motoring forward, and mm-hmm. it's like it nothing phases you.
Yeah. One thing that's got what I always try to put in my head is, especially around here where our turkey numbers ain't as thick as they are, but you have to hunt like there's a turkey behind every tree. I'm not against moving around and trying to strike one up, but you gotta know how to walk through the woods. You gotta be easy, and then you just gotta stick with it, man. But hunt like there's a bird behind every tree, because I mean that'll just mentally put you in the game 24/7. But one tip, and I actually had this happen twice this year for me. You know, you've went to a couple farms or just walked this farm here and there and can't get nothing to go. Find a spot you're generally seeing turkeys, or just a good looking logging road or food plot or whatever. I'm a timber guy myself. I love hunting hardwoods, but find a good spot you feel confident in. Find a shade tree. Camp out and just take all the tricks out of your bag, you know, your slates, your diaphragms, your box, whatever, and just get comfortable and just call every so often. And more times than not, that gobbler mid-morning has bred his hens and he's looking for another one. About time you're to doze off or getting ready to walk out of the woods, you're going to hear one. And by God, he's going to come quick if he hears you.
Right? Well, I think I got a phone call at about 12:47 p.m.
Yeah, that was the last bird of Illinois this year. I got my my brother-in-law one that morning, and everybody said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I got a tag. I'm going turkey hunting." So I hiked to the top of this hill, and you know, just like I said, slow step and calling every so often. Nothing answering, but I knew a good spot, new logging road, deal, shade tree, the whole nine, like I just said. And yeah, that sucker. Fine, I got there at like 10:30. I think he gobbled at like 11:20, and I killed him at 12:44 or something like that. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It took a little while for him to break, but once he did, he gained ground quick. He gained ground real quick.
And you were told, I mean, I was fortunate enough. I guess I got the first phone call after the turkey hunt.
Yeah, you did. I was, man, I go through, I'm like a roller coaster of emotion turkey hunting, man. And one thing I do after every bird I harvest, I'll take that bird and set him on a log or set him next to me, and I'll just take it in for 15, 20 minutes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dave Owens. He's a world champion turkey caller, great turkey, Pinhoti Project. At the end of every one of his videos, he's a great turkey hunter. But at the end, every time they get one, him and whoever, they're always sitting against a tree, checking the bird out and talking about the hunt, and they smoking a Swisher Sweet or something, you know, just hanging out. But I'm not a smoker, but I'll sit there and just enjoy that, and that's when I called you. I was just taking it all in. I was about in tears. I was so happy, and I'd done killed three or four this year, watched two or three more die, but every one's like the first one for me.
Yeah, and the way you were describing it, you kind of went next level on the calling. You hit it, you struck it up with a purr.
Yeah,
I think you said.
Yeah. Combination. What I did was and you've heard me say this in the woods. You've tried this, you know, soft calling, loud calling, you know, not no calling for a little while. And what I ended up doing to strike that bird, and I've had it happen in the past, I just started my own tea party. And what I mean by that, that's just the slang term I use for it, but I might start purring on the slate and cutting real hard, put that down, grab a box, maybe hit it. But a lot of times it's a slate and a diaphragm, and I'll just sound like two hens that got it. They ain't agreeing on something, and they're getting into it, and they're having their party right there. And that commotion, even if he ain't ready to be hot, it might make him hot, and he couldn't take it.
That's cool. So you were using the slate and a diaphragm. How did you create that?
What's that?
With
the tea party?
Yeah. Oh, hey, you got them.
I mean, I got calls laying here. I can give you a demonstration real quick.
Hey, that would be sweet.
Here real quick. So, and any kind of turkey hunting and calling, even in the morning starting out, you start low and you can always go up. Don't start high and go low. So, but what I do on this tea party deal, just to try to strike one, it's kind of your last resort, but here we go. And you're just going back and forth, just trying to make commotion, basically.
Dang. So you're basically got you're
and tea I'm in party. And I'm in a studio right now, not sitting against a tree in the woods. So I'm not as fired up right now. It might get a little more dramatic than it sounded, but no, you're just starting your own little party.
And so you got two hands.
Two hands just bickering, basically.
Just Sally, you mm-hmm. went out with my boyfriend, and mm-hmm. I don't like you.
They don't like it. And in the meantime, at Gobbler's thinking, well, there ain't one girlfriend over there. There's two.
Shouldn't he turn and run?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's awesome.
But no, I mean, when I was saying low, start low and go high. It's like in a morning scenario, starting out when that bird's on the roost. If I can wait and let him gobble first, I will. But even if he does start gobbling and I'm wanting to let him know where I'm at, I don't get carried away on the call. But what I will do is I'll start out slow. And when you're doing this, picture like you when you wake up in the morning, you're groggy, your voice ain't all there yet. You're just waking up, and that hen's doing the same thing. And what I start out with is maybe just a couple little tree yelps, we call them. That's just soft yelps, and I'll give you a little demonstration. See how soft that is?
Yeah.
But if you're in a position after a couple of those and a little times went by, I'll do a fly down hen. But I'm only going to do it if he's far enough away where he can't see me, and my hat will even come into play for a wing effect. But I'll give you a fly down. And that's a hen pitching off the roost going down. And if he starts gobbling your way when he hits the ground, just get ready.
Famous last words. Get ready. Dude, I love that. One of the things that I find, you know, different when I get to hunt with you or when I hear you call is you've got a unique cadence.
Yeah.
And it's I think we all kind of develop our own style of calling, mm-hmm. but how did you develop or did it just come naturally and this is just how you call?
I'll tell you what, just spending a lot of time in the woods, a lot of time listening to the hens. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody's got farm turkeys, go there and listen to them for a while. You'll learn a lot from them. But just years of, you know, of you learning your trial and errors and listening to hens, and even just with the technology we have now, Google or YouTube a hen and listen to it. Not all hens sound good. I mean, some turkey hunters sound way better than a hen does. You want to sound good as you can, but I'll throw some of them not so hot hens in there too. And I'll just give you a little scenario of that too. Just sound like a couple hens. I'm just going to freestyle a little bit. So there's just a little bit of that.
Right. And so when I hear you call, I hear a lot more, I guess you call that clucks in there.
You got some cuts, some clucks. You know, you got some higher end hens, you got some low variable hens. But just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. And I've heard one hen in the woods sound like three hens. Mm-hmm. I'll do that. See, that second note, that second cadence, I don't think sounds as good, but I've seen so many hens, they'll sound so good, and they sound not raspy, I guess you'd say, but they sound a little groggy compared to what they can do. So just mixing it up, doing something. I always try to say, especially hunting areas other guys are hunting, maybe just try doing something that they ain't used to hearing every single day.
Right.
So that's where I probably got more of it from. It's just, you hear so many guys on the same, either it's a diaphragm, a slate, a lot of box calls. It's the same 8 or 10 note, yow, 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 repeat, yow, yow, yow. And mm-hmm. I've just wanted to be different, I guess you would say.
Okay.
But putting that realism into it as well. But another thing, let's take the diaphragm out of the case, is my purring on a slate call has killed me a lot of turkeys. Just the problem with the slate is on the closing distance of a turkey before you shoot him, you got hand motion, so that's where a diaphragm's a lot handier. But when they're at a distance, a lot of purring, and I'll give you some of that too. So that I've done a lot of that, and that's just a comfortable hen playing around and doing her thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm sitting there, I feel like when I'm out there and you're calling, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna kill a bird today.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I appreciate that. It normally don't go that way all the time, but
not for me, but you know,
I've watched a lot. I've been fortunate enough to call a lot of birds in for people, but not so much on your end, pal.
We were talking not that long ago, and I missed one.
Yeah.
Where did I miss one?
That was up the Osterman farm to have. Called that thing in mid-morning a mile away and swing and a miss.
Oh, man. The curse is real.
Hey, that's part of it. That's part of it.
I'm telling you. I mean, how many people have you hunted with as much as me to not?
Yeah, you're probably right up there.
Yeah, and it's not. I'm not.
then I take somebody else and they miss one, and then I just laugh. And we go to the next farm, call up another one, and we get that one. That happened this year. Like lady luck does not get up in the morning a lot of times when I take you.
I know, man. It's not like I'm moving.
I know. I'd tell you if you were.
If I took you, let's say you didn't call, I take you, we're gonna get a bird, but it might take a couple days, but I mean, that's turkey hunting. For some reason, it's just the way it goes. That being said, you were talking a little bit about you know, the diaphragm versus slate.
Uh-huh.
When would you recommend, you know, one versus the other, you know, and kind of walk us through that?
Well, with the slate, and a diaphragm. We all know that a slate's a lot more user-friendly than a diaphragm, and there's nothing wrong with a slate. It's just going back to what I said, and that closing distance, that turkey, if he hangs up and you need to make a call, it's kind of hard to because he's going to see your, you know, motion of your hands moving that striker on that slate call. So, but like I said, it's a great call to learn on, whatever, and it still kills a lot of turkeys. I use one every day. But a diaphragm, it's going to be a little harder to use, but it's the deadliest one of them all, in my opinion. You can get a lot more, you can get a little more range on it. You can do a lot more finesse on it. Multiple hens, but they're a deadly combo either way. The best thing I can tell a guy with a diaphragm is if you're having troubles with it, it's just like it learning on any call of any species. Put that thing in the truck with you and blow that thing going up and down the road in the off season between hunts when you're going to work, whatever, and just get better on it.
Practicing the low and the high.
Yeah. On a windy day, like I said, I'm using a lot of diaphragm and slate. Like on a real windy day, though, I'm probably going to put the slate down and go to a box a lot more. Box call doesn't get a ton of credit, but on a windy day, that thing carries, and it struck up turkeys for me before too, where they weren't going to hear nothing but that, you know, just a lot more volume.
Yeah. Well, with that, we're going to take a moment here from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Going pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. With us, returning co-host of the WJBM Outdoor Show, Cole Foyles.
What's up, guys?
So we were talking a little bit before the break about some of the difference between, you know, when to use a slight diaphragm and, you know, even the box call. You guys also have a gobble call.
Yeah. Yeah, we come out with that a couple years ago. And there for a long time, it was just kind of a last resort locator, but I actually had some pretty good success with it this year. It's not just locating a bird, getting on him, and calling him in with a hen call, but I actually broke a few with it, and we got birds with them this year, and don't be afraid of it. It works. Yeah. We had a hunt in Missouri this year, took a buddy, and had three birds hung up a mile away, and they gobble, but they weren't gaining any ground. And I started doing a little hen calling, and I started hitting that gobble call, and boy, they gained ground quick. They did not like that.
Really?
I mean, it turned what probably would have been a 2-3 hour hunt to break them and maybe get them to come in or listen to them gobble off into about a 10-minute hunt, because they come down one ridge, down the holler, and up the next, come see who's with their girlfriend.
Okay.
But,
and so I'm looking at this thing, and it looks just like a goose or a buck call.
I'm going to be honest with you. When we designed this, this is actually based off of – this is the polycarbonate version I got with me right here.
Okay.
But it's based off of our meat grinder Canada goose call and our polycarb lineup. And what it is – and I'm just being honest, it's a really bad-tuned goose call. It's like Ray Charles tried to tune it, you know? but you're not going to make a Canada goose sound, but you can make a very good gobble sound on it. And when your air presentation going into it, it's straight air, like you're cleaning off your sunglasses, just like you blow a goose call or a duck call. But what I tell people, picture you're a little kid in the yard and you're playing war. Everybody wanted to be the machine gun. You know, you're doing the machine gun noise, so your tongue's flipping. So, and in your hands, like mufflers, they're going to start open, and then they flutter down shut. So when you do that into a cadence of a turkey gobble, basically, and I can hit it a couple times and give you guys a little sound file of it. See my hands fluttering when I hit that, and that's just creating that.
Oh,
And when I was talking like with that turkey we got this year, to make that throw a little more into it, and you start with a hen with your diaphragm, hit the gobble. And buddy, I'm not going to guarantee it's going to work every time. There ain't a call out there that works every time, but man, when he's hung up, give it a try. Give it a try.
I like that a lot. That's slick.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. I've grown fond of it.
That's cool, man. It's crazy. To watch you and all right, so is it safe to say you were born with a call in your mouth?
Pretty much. Right. Call is, I never had a pacifier. I think it was the duck or goose or turkey call. Grunt tube, something.
But the way that you're able to modify the sound of these calls. Uh-huh. I mean, before we started.
I see you looking at that duck call there.
Yeah.
So we all know in the morning, if you're sitting trying to locate a turkey, a lot of us go to a hoot owl call. And what Aaron's looking at here is a duck call we make called a drake break. And I can do it on about any of our calls, but this is my preferable favorite. But this is what you're going to hear here is actually a duck call, but I use it as a hoot owl call. And the reason being, I don't just use a regular old hoot owl call, is a lot of hoot owl calls got a small bore in the insert. And if it's kind of windy, they're kind of hard to hear. And granted, I know there's some that nowadays that probably make a little more range, but I've always had a lot of success with this. And this is just a duck call. I'm choking it off a little and doing a hoot owl cadence in it. So I'll give you a sound file of that. And for proof, here, listen, this is a duck call.
I don't know what's on the market right now for hoot owl.
Yeah.
But I, long time ago, went into Farm and Home. I got yelled at because I was pulling the calls out of
the clamshells and trying them.
I ended up buying them
all. It's hard not to.
I know.
Hey, everybody's different. It's all preference.
But I don't have an owl hoot that's that loud.
Yeah, yeah.
I always feel like
it carries, and if you're on top of a ridge, man, you can just hear that go for days.
I'm gonna leave here, and I'm just gonna start hitting a goose call and making it sound every way I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't be digging through this Nat Gear turkey vest over here, trying to get all my goodies.
I'll get to find out when you're not home.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about some of the waterfowl stuff, did you bring me the call I ordered?
Yeah, you were wanting one. Here you go, man.
The one for my
check her out.
Oh yeah,
you got the Calhoun Redneck.
Yeah, right here, baby. So this has got a neat little story to it. I'm pulling it out of the package right now, but. Friends of mine played football for the Georgia Bulldogs, and they invited me down to their golf tournament, and I wanted to bring a gift. So what we're doing here is we're getting this call, and we're going to get some custom engraving.
Yep.
And we're going to take their DGD logo, and we're going to put it right on here. Man, that's going to be one heck of a gift, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That color combo is cool, too, because it's kind of got their colors, but it's also got, you know, we call it a Calhoun Redneck because it's got the warrior colors. You know, we got black, red, and white on it.
That's a beautiful thing, man.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do a lot of custom engraving at the shop. And lately with all these high school graduations, everything going on, I did a bunch of them this year. If you guys got somebody with a birthday or a graduation or a wedding gift or whatever, hit me up. We can put their name on them, bunch of birds locked up. You got a logo, if you're doing like, you know, you want your business logo on something, we can do that. Just hit us up, man. We'll get you set up. We got it. We do all our own laser engraving. We do some pretty cool stuff.
Oh yeah. So we'll do a guide gift, generally every year. And We had Cole do a perfect one for our buddy Lammy.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
Lammy had a sticker on his truck that really fit him, and we were able to find an image that.
Yeah. I remember now. Yeah, and we can have some fun with it, too. We just probably won't post some pictures, depending on what it is.
Oh, man. Well, with it being time to practice the goose calling,
yeah.
What do you say about, you know, kind of maybe looking at some of the beginner type of sounds that somebody would want to make? Would you
sound? Yeah, let me grab a lanyard here.
Okay,
we'll get a goose call out. And when you're like your basics for a beginner, and these are notes you need to learn, but you're going to take them with you down the road, and they'll kill geese your whole career. But first thing, what's a goose do? He honks. So a basic honk. And when you blow into this goose call to do a honk, your tongue's going to go down, leave your, behind your bottom row of teeth, and your air. A lot of people want to blow into a call like a party horn where your cheeks puff and blow out. That's not the case with a short reed goose call. When you blow into this call, picture like you're cleaning your glasses. that straight air coming out. That's hot air coming out. So you're going to take your thumb and index, it wraps around the insert, and then your other hand's just going to float kind of in front of it. Don't choke it off. Just kind of have them there. Your hands are your muffler. And to do a honk, we're going to start out with ooh. And then you're going to put a it on the end. Ooh, it. Ooh, it. And that's your basic honk. Now, another note is a cluck. And with a cluck, you know how I just told you, ooh, it, for a honk. That second part's it. Take the ooh out, just say it. And then you got a cluck. And just practice these two notes 100, if not 1,000 times, so you feel like you're confidently hitting every note. And once you feel like you're getting there with your clucks, we can do two geese with just that one note. And what I'm getting with that, you got clean air and guttural air, and that's just changing in the tone of your voice. And I'm going to do one of each, and then we'll put them together. Your clean air cluck is going to sound like this, straight air. Now I'm going to use guttural air. So I'm putting a little more, it's in the word itself, more of your gut into it. Clean air, guttural air. Now let's put those two together. So there's just kind of a couple little tips you can do to get started out.
Those sounds sound very familiar.
Yep.
So as decorated as you are from a calling contest, mm-hmm. to just being in the blind, those are still the same sounds that you're making.
Yep.
Those are still your bass.
Yep. In the contest scene, there's a set routine, and there's a lot of finesse and a lot of fast flow. It's a roller coaster. It's like geese are at a distance. You got their attention. You're bringing them in. You almost had them. They leave. Now you got to call them back and finish them this time. So it's a roller coaster. You're starting slow. You're going fast. You're getting low. You're getting fast. And then you're finishing them off. But, when we're hunting migrating Canada geese, there is a lot of those stage notes we might throw in because you're just trying to make a party party down there and get their attention. But a lot of times, 3/4 of that stuff on stage is going to stay in the back pocket, mm-hmm. just hunting your day in, day out Canada geese in the area. And like I said, them honks and clucks will go a long way. And one note I failed to mention there, to get good on, and this is when I was talking about guttural, It's called a feed growl. When geese feed, they're doing a lot of growling. They even do kind of some whistling stuff. But the growl is what we're focusing on. It's something they can hear a lot more. But it's your grr 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 grr. You're getting deeper in another. And there's two forms of doing that. You can do straight air. Grr, grr, grr. Or if you're just starting out, think about when you're gargling mouthwash. Go, 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 go. Now do that near the call with a little guttural in it. And that's a really good note to have when you're finishing Canada geese.
That's awesome.
Yep, but just work on one at a time, and then once you feel confident you got all those notes, try to piece it together, and then one day you might be able to sound put it all together and make a party like this.
That's so cool, man. I love it. I don't know. It doesn't sound any different than it does in the pit, but it's just cool to hear you do that, man. Nice. All right. So another one that I find easy to do, because I'm very terrible goose caller. Like, I go out with you guys, there's no point in me even trying to call. So,
when I was talking about migrators, I get a lot of guys, I guess, just because – you know, me being in the call business and being a good caller and hunter and everything else, they're scared to get their calls out. When you got a lot of lines of gear trafficking, a lot of geese or these trying to pull migrators, I will look at everybody in the pit and say, if you can even cluck, just do it. I always say it that in my pit, it takes a team to kill these geese there. So don't, yeah. There's a time and a place for a lot of guys to call, and there's a time and a place for just one guy to call.
Right. With the sounds, where does the comeback call come in?
The comeback call?
Yeah.
A lot of times you're going to use that comeback, and it's right in the word itself. It's when the geese are going away from you.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get them back. Come back, come back. And a lot, there's a couple I'll do. And your basic one, when you're blowing in the call, I always say it sounds like a donkey cadence almost. Eon, eon, eon. Your jaw's dropping on the aw. Eon. And then another one, what I do a lot, I do that one a lot, but I like this one as well. And it's kind of like a spit note, but you're dragging it. So there's a couple of them you can do.
So when we talked about it with turkey calls, but also on the goose calls, is the cadence, like when you're taking your breath, I guess when you're pushing the air through the call, is that going to come down to a hunter's unique style, or is there a particular cadence or range that you want to be within?
Honestly, a lot of it's just going back to, like I said, with, you know, getting familiar with the call, getting consistent with the call, and learning that clean and guttural air and mixing that together and kind of building your own mix, you know.
Okay.
You know, everybody's built different, you know, everybody's mouth's built different. It's just finding what you're comfortable with and putting it together.
Okay. We talked about like a hen turkey.
Yeah.
We've all had hen turkeys come in, and they don't even sound like a turkey.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know it's a turkey coming, but she sounds awful.
Like we were doing with the turkey calls. I was saying, I'll throw in some hen notes that don't sound that great. The same thing with Canada geese. I mean, I'll do full notes, and then there's kind of this half note. And I see this note getting a little more popular. I guess a lot more people starting to learn it, see it, whatever. But I'll do it, and you'll hear it in the mix. It's like a half note. It's not a full note, but you're mixing that in there. But if you sit around listen to geese, you'll hear one in there. You're big goose, little goose, you know. And one other thing I was going to go over when you're choosing a call, it just kind of depends. A lot of guys I get, every one of them wants, I want a Canada Goose call, real deep sounding. That's great for, you know, your locals and whatever. But what I'll tell guys, if you're a pit hunter or you're just hunting traffic and geese a lot, think about this. When you hear a goose, a lot of times, you know, it catches your attention. It's high pitch. It's at a distance. If I hear that deep sound, mm-hmm. that growl, I'm probably going to be grabbing my gun, you know. Yeah. You're not going to hear that a mile away. That's something to think about on a windy day. So you do yourself a favor, and I'm not trying to just sell calls here. It's get you a deep sounding call and a high pitch sounding call, and I got one more call, and I'll show you. So this is what we call our straight meat cackler, and it's a high pitch call. So, but and it's gonna reach out on them windy days. You think that little call versus that call is gonna do more? It is. So listen, I'll blow the straight. Actually, I'm gonna blow the straight meat honker first. It's a deeper sounding call. Now listen to this straight meat cackler. It's gonna be higher pitch. So it's going to pop through that wind, pop through that air a little more. But so it could even be something you get their attention. Here they come. And when you're wanting to finish them, you might even switch over back to your big goose call or, you know, what, just kind of watch them. But that's what I'm getting at. Have some options. You
yeah. know? I hear not, that higher note. For
not,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Not every day is it's, no wind, you know, there's going to be some big wind days, whatever. And you're going to have to reach out there a little bit. Same thing with duck calls. You're going to have open bore calls, small bore calls. I mean, there's a lot about them.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, hear from the sponsors. We'll come back and got to get in some ducks.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
I don't know if your phone was ringing or mine.
Mine's been going this whole time. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. And co-hosting today, Mr. Cole Foyles.
What's going on?
Yeah, we've been talking turkeys, then geese, and now let's get into a little bit of ducks.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so the main theme right here with this turkey depression is over. Turkey season's out, and what are we getting into? It's fishing season, yep. And getting ready for upcoming.
Yep, they're going to be in the dog days of summer, getting blinds ready and, you know, practicing our calling and stringing decoys and you name it.
Right.
Getting and the then, dog ready, whatever.
So with the amount of practice required to be able to blow a call, I mean, it's just, you can tell the difference anytime you're out hunting on the guys that have been doing it for a long time.
That are seasoned veterans, yeah, or just getting started and ain't got a lot of experience yet. Yeah. Yep.
Practice is the key.
Uh-huh.
Time spent is where your yield's going to come from.
Exactly.
So talk to us a little bit about the duck calls here.
Duck calls here. We make a lot of duck calls in our lineup, but the couple I'm holding here, and they're actually both the same call, but that's probably my favorite out of our lineup, and that's called a Drake Break, mm-hmm. and that's available in double and single, and that's what I have here is one in a single and one in a double. And it's a mid-range bore on it. It's not a huge bore, but you can get some range on it. But it's got real nice low end, just got a lot of finesse, a lot of rasp, good ducky notes on it. From the calling stage to the duck blind, that's the call I trust.
All right. Right
there. And I was talking about single and double read. If you're just starting out, let's just stick with a double read. And why I say that is you're learning, you're trying to get in with the guys, get, you know, chime in on your notes, you've been practicing, whatever. But what a double read does, and I use one, don't get me wrong, I'll put a single and a double on my lanyard, but what it is, it's two reads versus one. And what we got going on there, when you're putting air into that call, a double read, you got two reads buzzing each other. You're creating that ducky rasp versus a single reed where you kind of got a voice inflect, put more of that duck into that call. So it's kind of with a double reed, it's doing it for you. You got to learn your cadences, your air presentation, but it's going to make life a lot easier. But with a double reed, you might not be able to get quite as loud. A single reed will carry a little farther. So you got your ups and downs with both, your pros and cons of both. But you know, like I said, I carry one of each for depending on wind, whatever.
So you're saying a double reed's probably a little bit more forgiving.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. 150%. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. And, I got a double reed Drake break here. I can give you a little whirl on it.
Well, we heard you make it sound like an owl.
Yeah, we'll show you it's a duck now. So that's a double reed Drake break. But you can hear it's got a nice tone to it, and but it's not as loud. And I'll blow the single reed here, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So you can, it's got a lot more range than what a double's going to be able to do. A double kind of maxes out, sky's the limit with a single.
Okay. All right. And then, so as you're going through, you got your, you know, sounds that you're making, mm-hmm. You're creating a duck party.
Yeah.
So are you just reaching for the different tools in the bag to come together to make a party, or?
So when calling a bunch of ducks, I mean, I'm going to go there and say you got to spend your time and learn how to read a duck. But let's just say there's some ducks flying across the lake at a distance. So you're going to use your hens and what we'll call, I don't know, a hail call, a greeting call, and I'll blow that for you. And with that, when you're trying to get their attention, so you're going to call a little louder. But as they're coming, we're going to go into more feed chuckles and maybe some quacks and soft hens. So just to make it sound comfortable, nobody's alert, everybody's having a party and getting along and everything's going good. So I'll blow that. We're going to say the ducks have turned, they're coming, and I'm going to try to finish them in the hole. And then take them, boys.
All right. See, but I heard that, how you were starting out and then progressively getting,
and then bringing it down. But that feed chuckle, that's what it is. That's a lot of ducks. They use that a lot when you're going to hear that when they're feeding. But you're also just going to hear that when they're, you know, chirping, drinking, getting a drink of water, comfortable, whatever, just soft. But that right there is going to kill a lot of them. The best ducks, I'm being a bad call salesman here, but the best ones you get, it's when you look up and you see they're locked up. Worst thing you can do is grab that call and blow a note. Let him do his thing.
Right. Yeah.
I might have lost a call sale there, but I gave a good tip.
Or just call once and shoot it. Yeah, and then you can say you called it in.
Yeah, right before. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, we're getting low on time here. Thank you for the clinic.
Yeah, anytime.
Anybody looking to practice, looking for a gift, a new call, reach out to Foils Migrators.
Yeah. I mean, we got a website, www.foilsmigrators.com. You can call us at the shop. That number is 618-232-9500. You can call me. 618-535-9899. Social media, we got Instagram, we got Facebook. We do a lot on Facebook, and we also got TikTok. We're posting stuff daily. Check out our stories, check out our posts, give us a like, give us a follow, and I'm sure you'll see what's up to date with Foils Migrators.
Dude, thank you so much.
Yep. No problem, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Always, man. Appreciate you.